I'd like to welcome each and every one here, guests and visitors alike. We're glad you could come out to be with us for our late service here at the church today, and we appreciate you being out. Several announcements and concerns for you, if you will. I got a note earlier about Mr. Bob Edson. Mr. Bob had been sick, very sick down at the coast. He is now over at Liberty Commons in room 403. Gotten a good report on him, says he's doing very, very well, and I know he would love for you to come and maybe visit with him and be there with him. So remember Mr. Bob Edson, if you will. Also, our sympathies go out to Angie Josie, Alan Coleman, and their families on the death of their mother, Pearlene Coleman. Her funeral visitation will be tomorrow over at Rockwell Baptist Church at 12 o'clock. The funeral will be 1 o'clock at Rockwell Baptist. Just keep them in your prayers and be with them and continue to remember them at her death as they mourn and grieve. Also, next Sunday, there will be a combined adult Sunday school class. Hope you can come out and be a part of that. So combined adult Sunday school class over in the fellowship hall. Look forward to seeing everybody there. The O-Wings are taking up for shy of school supplies. There's a list of things there. Please be aware of that. Help with that. And check that list out if you would. The vicar is not going to have his Bible study this week, nor next week. Going to be 2-week hiatus, and then they'll be back. But I know everybody enjoys that. So, and again, I encourage you to go see it. This young man's an excellent teacher. You need to go hear what he's got to say. He can give you some really, really good sound theology and background on Scripture. Also, remember the early service all summer long, 8:30. Invite folks out. Invite folks to this service. Hope you'll come out and be a part of that. Lay visitation ministry. If you'd like to be a part of lay visitation ministry, we greatly appreciate you being a part of that. Just come let me know. Those who have been a part of it, they have received great blessings just by doing that. The folks that we go out, the shut-ins and the sick and the elderly who we go visit, they actually are more blessing to you than you are to them. It is a true blessing to go out and do that. So remember that. There will be a called congregational meeting next Sunday at the late service, the 10:30 service. To go and talk about boiler repairs, and hopefully everybody will, we can come to a conclusion on that. The Altar Guild Committee, they're going to have a short meeting next Sunday at 9:30 in the sanctuary, so hopefully all the members there will be at that. If you'd like to be a part of the NALC convocation in Indianapolis, it is in August. We need at least two folks that would go to be voting members here of this congregation. I'll be out there. I'm only going for a couple days. Don't got to go for the whole thing, but we're voting on a new bishop this year. We've got some other restructuring things that are happening as the national church grows. Hope some folks could come out and be a part of that. Camp Agape is coming up. Vacation Bible School is coming up. We've got our blog. We're doing well. We have reached over 1,000 folks just this week with the gospel of Jesus Christ, just through this blog and through our Facebook page. So please be aware of that. Check those things out. Share them. The more you share them, the more folks we reach, and all you got to do is just push a button to do that. We also had a note sent to us. Many of you will remember Miss Evelyn Ridenhauer. That was Pastor Ridenhauer's wife. I'm sure she's very beloved here. She's getting ready to turn 90 years old, and they're going to have basically a card shower for her. Her address is in here, and hopefully you can send out a card and kind of brighten her day and maybe to brighten yours a little bit also. So Miss Evelyn Ridenhauer, Pastor Ridenhauer's wife, I know many of you remember her. Please send out cards and letters to her for her birthday that's coming up. And like I say, address is in there. Also, we've had a good response to our change stewardship that we're doing. Again, for just a little bit of change. We're asking folks to pray about it. We're asking at least 100 folks. If you'll commit to giving $5 to $10 more a week, my family is committing to this and giving a little more than that. And we ask you to do that. This is over and above your regular tithes and offerings. We've had a good response so far. But if you can hop in there anywhere, just a dollar more a week makes a big, big difference. We can meet any budget. We can meet anything, any need that is in this church, more than meet it easily if we will just do that. And I just pray that you will check that out. And also, I'm not trying to be some televangelist, don't like talking about money, don't like to do these things. But God has a bigger shovel, and he will shovel back to you as you give to him. You cannot outgive God. He will bless you, and he will take that and use it in uncanny, uncanny ways. So please be aware of that. Anything that maybe perhaps we've missed, don't want to miss anything. We'll tell you, we got a lot of folks traveling for the summertime. Keep them in your prayers as they travel about. that God will give them traveling mercies and let them have a happy and a healthy summer and a fun time, but bring them back here to us very safe and sound. We ask that. If we don't have anything that we've missed or announcements, we're going to go to our first hymn, number 533. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And now let us confess our sins in the presence of God and of one another. Almighty God, our Maker and our Redeemer, we poor sinners confess to you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. We flee for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking and imploring your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The Almighty and merciful God grant to you, being penitent, pardon and remission of all of your sins, time for amendment of life, and the grace and comfort of his Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated if you would. Let's have our children come forward for the children's message. While our children are coming forward, for our teens, the Quest group meets tonight, 5 o'clock at Union Church. We've got several of us will be leaving around 4:30 or so to go up. Love to have you come up and be a part of that. We've had a good turnout so far with the kids, and they're having a good time. So please be aware of that.
Morning, everybody. How are y'all? Good. I'm glad. I'm going to ask you guys if you know what a word means. Does anybody know what the word adoption means? Anybody heard of adoption before? Yeah? Yeah, you can adopt like a puppy or a kitty or something. Yeah. And what you do then is you bring that animal that you adopt into your family, you care for it, right? And also we have adoption sometimes with people, right? We have someone will adopt a baby or a child, or sometimes if you marry into a family, you can adopt the children, right? And so what happens when you adopt somebody into your family? What do they become? A part of your family, exactly. Just like anybody else that was already in your family, they become truly a part of your family. And guess what? The Bible talks in some of the readings this morning about adoption into God's family. And it says that because of Jesus and what he did for us, God adopts us into his family. And so we talk about God the Father, right? And we talked a couple weeks ago about some of this stuff, the Holy Spirit. And we talked last week about the Trinity, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, right? And so Jesus is God's Son. And they're the same kind because they're both God. But what are we? What are we to God now through Jesus? We're sons and daughters of God now because we were adopted through what Jesus did. And that makes us really, truly a part of God's family. Isn't that cool? And so when God adopts us, we become a part of his family, sons and daughters, the same types of sons and daughters, the really, truly a part of his family. And he does that through Jesus. And that's pretty cool, because what happens when you have sons and daughters and you're truly a part of God's family is you get all of the really good stuff that Jesus and God have together, because that's how much God loves us. He wants to give us peace, and he wants to give us his love and care for us, and wants us to be with him forever. And that's what he does through Jesus, is he adopts us. So if you're ever nervous about anything or sad about anything, remember that God has made you a son or a daughter of him. And that's pretty awesome news, isn't it? Pretty cool, huh? All right, let's pray, and then you can get a sucker and go to Children's Church, okay? All right, let's pray. Lord, we thank you for adopting us into your family through Jesus, and we thank you that you love us enough to make us truly your sons and daughters. In your name we pray, amen. All right, y'all.
Now we'll take up the offering. Thank you. Let's pass the peace to each other.
The 65th chapter of Isaiah. I was ready to be sought by those who did not ask for me. I was ready to be found by those who did not seek me. I said, "Here I am, here I am," to a nation that was not called by my name. I spread out my hands all the day to a rebellious people who walk in a way that is not good, following their own devices. A people who provoke me to my face continually, sacrificing in gardens and making offerings on bricks, who sit in tombs and spend the night in secret places, who eat pig's flesh and broth of tainted meat that is in their vessels, who say, "Keep to yourself, do not come near me, for I am too holy for you." These are a smoke in my nostrils, a fire that burns all the day. Behold, it is written before me, I will not keep silent, but I will repay. I will indeed repay into their lap both your iniquities and your father's iniquities together, says the Lord, because they made offerings on the mountains and insulted me on the hills. I will measure into their lap payment for their former deeds. Thus says the Lord, as the new wine is found in the cluster, and they say, "Do not destroy it, for there is a blessing in it," so I will do for my servants' sake, and not destroy them all. I will bring forth offspring from Jacob and from Judah, possessors of my mountains. My chosen shall possess it, and my servants shall dwell there. Our second reading comes from the third chapter of Galatians. Now, before faith came, we were held captive under the law, imprisoned until the coming faith would be revealed. So then, the law was our guardian until Christ came, in order that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian, for in Jesus Christ you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is no male and female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to promise. I mean that the heir, as long as he is a child, is no different from a slave, though he is the owner of everything. But he is under guardians and managers until the day set by his father. In the same way, we also, when we were children, were enslaved to the elementary principles of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, "Abba, Father." So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. Here ends our readings.
Let's all stand as we're able for the reading of the Holy Gospel. Now the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 8th chapter. Jesus and his disciples sailed to the country of the Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee, When Jesus had stepped out on land, there met him a man from the city who had demons. For a long time he had worn no clothes, and he had not lived in a house but among the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him and said with a loud voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For many a time it had seized him. He was kept under guard and bound with chains and shackles. But he would break the bonds and be driven by the demon into the desert. Jesus then asked him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Legion." For many demons had entered him, and they begged him not to command them to depart into the abyss. Now a large herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside, and they begged him to let them enter these. So he gave them permission. Then the demons came out of the man and entered the pigs. And the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and drowned. When the herdsmen saw what had happened, they fled and told it in the city and in the country. Then people went out to see what had happened. And they came to Jesus and found the man from whom the demons had gone sitting at his feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. And those who had seen it told them how the demon-possessed man had been healed. Then all the people of the surrounding country of the Gerasenes asked him to depart from them, for they were seized with great fear. So he got into the boat and returned. The man from whom the demons had gone begged that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you." And he went away, proclaiming throughout the whole city how much Jesus had done for him. This is the gospel of the Lord. Please be seated if you would. If you'd allow me, we'd like to open with prayer. Most precious God, we thank you for each and every one gathered here today. We thank you for the seed of your word, and we pray today, God, you would open our hearts and minds to you. And God, you would take the seed and use it as you see fit, watering and taking care of it. And Lord, we do pray that you would give us words to say and help us today. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. This gospel text of Luke 8 is also found in Mark. You can see a lot of things happening in this text. Now, a lot of people want to get all caught up into the demoniac, the man, and how many demons he had, how many is a legion, and how many swine there were. In the other Mark story, you see about the swine, you see about all these other things. The legion was about 5,000 to 6,000 Roman soldiers. They talk about the pigs and all that. But that's not really the point of the story. We can get all caught up into these small little things, and we could really miss what's happening here. The first thing we have to notice is there are two main characters in this story today. Jesus, obviously, being the first, and the man named Legion, filled with the demons, or the demoniac, as some people like to call him. These are the main two characters. Now, this story does not happen in a Jewish land. This is not in the Galilee. This is not in Judea. This is on the other side of the Sea of Galilee, a place called Gennesaret. Sometimes the Sea of Galilee is also called the Lake of Gennesaret. And one of the reasons we know that this is not a Jewish section is pretty obvious. It has pigs in it. And the Jews would not have had pigs around. Those were an unclean animal, not to be done. In fact, one of our other scriptures speaks about the swine and having that in your pots and that not being a good thing. And we see in the story, Jesus having power. Jesus having power over several things. Now, first in Luke 8, we find that Jesus tells and talks of himself and does a great miracle on the sea as he calms the storm. So he has power over the elements. And sometimes we need to pray about the elements. Sometimes we've been getting a lot of rain here lately. We need to pray maybe that God would help us with that. But he has power over the elements. After this story, there is another story that happens in chapter 8 of Luke. And he goes and he heals. And in that, we see that Jesus has power over health. He has power over our bodies, power over death. We see in that story. And here, We see him having power over the devil himself, over Satan, over demons. Jesus has great power. Now, many people are afraid in the Christian church of the devil, of Satan, of demons, and we need not fear them because Jesus has power over the devil. He has overcome all of that. Now, are we to delve into those spiritual aspects? No. We are not to fool around with Satan. Ouija boards, don't mess with them. Horoscopes, psychics, palm readers. There's one up the road here. What is Dora the Explorer or whatever her name is? Stay away from that. You don't mess with that stuff. That is demon stuff. That is evil. That is totally contradictory to the Word of God. We're not to mess with it. But Jesus has power over the devil. So therefore, we don't have to fear him. Now, we're not to dabble in him, but we are to put our trust and our faith in Jesus. Now, Jesus goes across the sea. He ends up in the land of Gennesaret. And the first one to meet him is this man who is demon-possessed, Legion, the demoniac. And what does Jesus do? Jesus ministers to this man. Jesus touches this man. And Jesus eventually casts the spirits, these evil spirits, out of this man. And this man is once again in his right mind. Now, some people, you go to commentaries and you go to other things. There are many people in academia and others who say, they'll say, well, this is mental illness. I don't think so. I think this is actual demons. There are demons. There is a Satan. There is personified evil, and we call that Satan. Demons, other things. These things are real. They are out there, and we're not to mess around or play with them, but they are real. Now, can mental illness be an issue? Yes, mental illness can be an issue, but not here. These are demons. Jesus, he confronts these demons. And as this man comes out, we find that he has been chained, that he has kept at guard. You see, the world doesn't know what to do with somebody like this. The world doesn't know what to do with him. They put him in chains. They put him guarded. He lives among the tombs. He lives among the graves. We got some folks that hang around out here in the graveyard sometimes late at night. I've seen a few, caught a few late at night, and they're up to no good too. Well, this guy's up to no good, but Jesus ministers to him, heals him of this demon. Now, when you are plagued by this, you're an outcast. This man is totally outcast. This man hurts himself. He hurts others. That's what the devil will do to you. If Satan gets a hold of you, the devil will ruin you. He will destroy you. And he will take you to places you have never, ever wanted to go and lead you down a path of total destruction. And that's where this man was. No hope, no anything. This man had no hope. And now we see Jesus come onto the scene. And now we see all hope come into place with Jesus. Jesus cast the demons out of this man. Cast them into the swine, it says, and they run down the hill. That's not important. But they cast the demons out. And this man is once again found in his right mind. Once again sane. Once again able to take part in the community. Now, it's very interesting what happens to him. And here is the message I want you to receive today. I want you to be just like the man named Legion, the demoniac. You say, you finally totally lost your whole mind. And I never had much of one to begin with. No, I haven't lost my mind, but I want you to be just like this man. Not being demon-possessed, not being controlled by Satan, but I want you to see what happens towards the end after he has been released by this. And people come to see him. They came to see the show. They wanted to see what was going on. And they see him sitting at the feet of Jesus in his mind, totally clothed. And by the way, in the ancient world, being unclothed or being naked meant that you were less than human. So he was even less than human in certain ways or thought of that way in the ancient world because he was demon-possessed, living nearly like an animal. And it says this at the end. It says, the man from whom the demons had gone begged that he might be with him, with Jesus. You see, Jesus did great things and he wanted to be with Jesus. But Jesus sent him away. Now, is this because Jesus is being mean? Jesus doesn't care for the man? Jesus is rude? No. Because Jesus has other plans, and it's the same thing that Jesus wants for us. And this is how we want you to be, just like the demoniac in a way. But Jesus sent him away saying, return to your home and declare how much God has done for you. And he went away proclaiming throughout the whole city how much Jesus had done for him. I want to read the ending of this story to you in the book of Mark. Mark chapter 5 in 19b. Go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. And he went away and began to proclaim in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him. And everyone marveled. I didn't realize it until this week as I was studying for this. This man is one of the first missionaries of the Christian church to the Gentiles. He goes all through the land of the Gerasenes proclaiming the gospel of Jesus, proclaiming what Jesus had done for him. That's how I want you to be like this man. That's how I hope all of us will be like this man. If we only come to this church just to have contacts or other things, yes, we need to associate with one another, commune. That's part of it. But we are here to do one thing and one thing only. It's not to have pretty buildings. It's not for any other reason but to tell people what Jesus has done for us. I've been at this church for 8 years. And I have seen a lot of what God has done. Now, I'm not going to ask people to stand up and tell everything and all that. But I want you to just think what God has done for you. People say, I don't know what to say, how to minister, how to witness to people. Well, we're going to give it to you right now. Tell what God has done for you. If nothing else, I know many of your story. I've done over 200 funerals. So, yes, God has brought you through loss, through grief, through mourning. He's brought you through sickness. He's brought you through other things, financial issues. He has brought people through family issues. God has done great things in this congregation alone. I want you to think of what God has done for you. And I will tell you this. Some of you I have ministered to more than others because of the death, because of other needs. But I want to tell you, God has done something for everybody. He did it right there in the waters of baptism. He saved you. He changed you. He redeemed you. He bought you back. He saved you from the fires of hell. He saved you from a life that would be less than what it should be without him. Jesus has done all this for every one of you. And then people say, well, I don't know how to talk to people and tell them about what we believe and what we... Yes, you do. You know exactly how to do it. It's this. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. I believe in the Holy Spirit. The Apostles' Creed, you know exactly what you believe. You have everything you need to witness to this world. That's why we're here. If not, we need to just shut the doors down if we're not going to witness. Tell people what Jesus has done for you. Invite people to come here and hear what Jesus has done for you. Tell them of the great and mighty things. I know of a lot of things Jesus has done in this congregation. He has done wonderful, marvelous, mighty works in this place. And we should go out and tell people, just like this man did. That's why God has done this for us. I just want to leave you with this. This man will be our homecoming speaker this year. I tried to get some folks, had some relation to the church, so I kind of struck out there. I think we got somebody from the church next year, part of the church coming next year. But Pastor Larry Bost has been here before. Pastor Larry is deaf. He is absolutely deaf. Very animated man. When you see him sing, he actually signs the songs. He sings too, but he signs the songs. It's wonderful to see. He actually was the pastor As far as I know, one of the only pastors to ever pastor, the only, and I believe there's only one as far as I know, one Lutheran church in the United States that is a deaf church, church for only deaf people, and he was the pastor of it for quite a while. He has a cochlear implant now. Wonderful man. And I look forward to him coming. A lot of fun, just a great guy. Pastor Larry is a man who is a pastor of pastors in many ways. He's an elder pastor. A lot of knowledge, a lot of understanding, a lot of wisdom. A friend of mine who's about my age, pastors another church in this area that I know very, very well. You don't need to know who, but I know, and God knows, and that's all that matters. He was struggling several years ago, struggling with ministry, struggling with other things that were happening in his life and were happening in his congregation. And he went to Pastor Larry, and he said, Pastor Larry, he says, sometimes I don't even know what to believe anymore. He says, I don't even know what to do. And Pastor Larry looked at him, and he said, sometimes we all get to that point where we don't know what to do. We don't know which way to go. But he said, all I know is this. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. He said, that's all I know, many days, and that's enough. Tell what Jesus has done for you. That's enough. And spread the gospel. Tell them. If the demoniac can do it, if a man who was a total outcast, filled with thousands probably of demons, and healed by Jesus and spared by Christ and set free by Christ can do it. Even a Gentile of the time can do it. You and I can certainly do it. Amen.
Thank you.
And now let us confess our faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Now let us pray for this world and all of God's creation. Most precious God, thank you for this wonderful time of summer, a time when people can go to the coast, go to the mountains, that they can take time, that they can regenerate, renew themselves, body, mind, and spirit. We thank you for this, and we pray that each and every one would be given safe travels as they go back and forth. Father God, that you would help us all to be renewed as people go on vacations and just go on day trips or weekend trips. We pray, God, that you would keep each and one that does this safe, give them happy times, and bring them here to us once again, unharmed. Lord, in your mercy. Father God, there are many hurt and sick among us. We pray for the Coleman family as they mourn and they grieve. We pray for others who mourn and grieve. We pray for the sick, for all those who are on our prayer concerns list and those who we name in our hearts right now. Father God, as the great physician in heaven, we pray that you might minister to these as only you can do. Lord, in your mercy. Father God, into your hands we commend all for whom we pray, trusting through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And now may the Lord's face shine upon you and God's grace rest with you this week, today, and always.